So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Creations of Kumaras and others. Text number 3.
Vishvapatiyasim srishtim
Nātmanam bhāvamanyatāram Bhagavadhyāna putinam Manasanyam tato srijat. Vishva, by seeing, Papiyasin, sinful, Srishtin, creation, na, did not, Atmanam, unto himself, Bahu, much pleasure. Amanyata, felt. Bhagavad, on the personality of Godhead. Dhyana, meditation. Putina, purified by that. Manasa, by such a mentality. Anyam, another. Tata, thereafter. Astrijat, created. Translation. And purport by divine grace from Vishnu Paraparamhansa. Haridakakacharya Ashtatara Svatashishimana Vaisharanarvinda Bhakti Vidanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity, and therefore he purified himself by meditation on the personality of Godhead. And then he began another term of creation. Please repeat. Seeing such a misleading creation, as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity. And therefore he purified himself by meditation on the personality of Godhead. Then he began another term of creation. Purport. Although he created the different influences of nescience, Lord Brahma was not satisfied in performing such a thankless task. But he had to do it because most of the conditioned souls wanted it to be so. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15 that he is present in everyone's heart and is helping everyone to either remember or forget. The question may be raised, why the Lord, who is all merciful, helps one to remember and another to forget? Actually, his mercy is not exhibited on partiality towards one and enmity towards another. The living entity, as part and parcel of the Lord, is partially independent because he partially possesses all the qualities of the Lord. Anyone who has some independence may sometimes misuse it due to ignorance. When a living entity prefers to misuse his independence and glide down towards nescience, the all-merciful Lord first of all tries to protect him from the trap. But when the living entity persists in gliding down to hell, the Lord helps him to forget his real position. The Lord helps the fallen living entity glide down to the lowest point, just to give him the chance to see if he is happy by misusing his independence. Almost all the conditioned souls who are rotting in the material world are misusing their independence, and therefore five kinds of nescience are imposed upon them. As an obedient servitor of the Lord, Brahma creates all these as a matter of necessity. But he is not happy in doing so because a devotee of the Lord naturally does not like to see anyone falling down from his real position. Persons who do not care for the path of realization get full facilities from the Lord for executing their proclivities to the fullest extent, and Lord Brahma helps in that procedure without fail. Om Agyan Nirandasya Nirandaran Shalakaya Kakshuranga Nipangina Tashmai Shri Guna Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karata Shri Vashri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So here, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in the third book that what is the purpose of this material creation? Lord Brahma is not satisfied in performing such a thankless task of creating this nescience in this world, but he had to do it because most of the conditioned souls wanted it to be so. So the purpose of this creation is for the living conditioned souls who want it to be so. For in other words, the living entities want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Well, that's not possible in the spiritual world, because everything there is Krishna conscious. But somehow or another, due to the misuse of independence, the living entity wants to imitate the position of the Lord, and he can't do it there, so Krishna creates a material world for him. The living entity also cannot create a material world for himself or a place to enjoy for himself. He's dependent on Krishna even for that. So Krishna has to go to the trouble to make this whole creation so the living entity can act out his imitation activities of being the enjoyer and the controller. So this is the purpose of creation. Also another, Krishna says, I've created this world, I've created Jagannath. Be thou happy by this sacrifice, you'll be happy because this is what you wanted. So, okay, you want to be happy, at least do it according to the authorized way. You'll get more happiness. So Krishna is even seeing for the best happiness here in the material world. So he has created the Vedas and all the rules and regulations. And he's saying, be happy by performing this sacrifice. Because if you worship the devatas, they will give you all the necessities, you will be happy in life, you make progress in your next life. So Krishna creates the material world, he creates the program to be happy, and also he has to create this forgetfulness of himself also, otherwise the living entities can't enjoy it if they know Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So this is Yavidya, is the first covering of the living entity. So he can forget Krishna, then he can begin his sojourn here. So the Vedas are a manual for the universe, how to operate in this universe, how to live in this material world, because that's how you want it. And also, there's also a system how to get out of the material world also, if you want to get out. That's not the purpose of the creation. The purpose of the creation is for people who wanted to be here. But anyway, as Prabhupada points out, the Lord helps the living entity glide down to the lowest point just to give him a chance to see if he is happy by misusing his independence. So the idea is correction. It's not actually punishment, this material world, although we're being punished. The idea of that punishment is correction. So we come to our senses and understand, you know, we're not going to be happy wherever we wherever we go in this material world. So this world is going on because the conditioned souls wanted it to be so. And Krishna, as a loving father, is simply fulfilling the desires of his, what do you say, foolish children, or immature children. Krishna is so kind, and he'll always fulfill your desires. So he's fulfilling this desire, and therefore the whole world is going on, the whole universe is going on, simply because of the living entity's desire that it go on. Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, ego, these are my 8 separate energies. Besides, there's another one, Jiva Bhuta Mahabham. That is the living entities who are sustaining the material world. The living entities are sustaining the material world. We think that Krishna, as Super Soul, is all pervading, he's sustaining everything as Brahman. He sustains everything, sustaining Brahman. Or the Super Soul is within everything, he's sustaining the whole universe. But here it says the living entities, Yaidam Dayate Jayat Jagat. Dayate means sustaining. So how do living entities sustain the universe? They sustain it by their desire. Because if their desire is there, then the material world doesn't happen. It's only there because of their desire. So as long as they're maintaining desire, they're actually sustaining the universal existences. So they're giving this chance to execute their desires and wander around the universe to try and find that happiness. So this is the purpose of life, is happiness. The purpose of creation is actually happiness. God is one and he becomes many. What for? For pleasure. So this is for his pleasure. The purpose of creation is pleasure. So the purpose of the material creation is for pleasure of the living entities. So-called pleasure. So the living entities are transmigrating from one body to another by the arrangement of the Lord, so you can have experience the pleasures that you are certain that will make you happy. And because there are 3 modes of material nature, and so you get these mixes, goodness, passion and ignorance, you mix it, goodness and raja, goodness and tama, tamar and goodness. So you can permutate these. 3 by 3 is 9, 9 by 9 is 81. Prabhupada said that by the combination of all these different mixtures, you come out to 8,400,000. He said, therefore you have 8,400,000 species of life, because you can have 8,400,000 types of desire due to the mixtures. So therefore this 8,400,000 is exact according to the desires, you can, a combination of modes that create a particular desire. So then the living entity is given a chance to go through all these different species, searching for that happiness, searching for that satisfaction. Radha Shingadeva Bhagavan ki. But he never finds it. Even he follows all the Vedic injunctions properly to be happy here, still he never finds it. It means if he follows the path of Dharma perfectly, still he doesn't find it. It's like in the... We should worship the forefathers. For we are debtors in this material world, we are ini. So we have a debt to pay. Demigods, forefathers, rishis, mother and father, 6 kinds of debtors. And as soon as you're born, you have to pay that debt back. So the whole philosophy is based on paying back these debts. But the problem with that, because you've got to pay the debt to your father, so you have to worship your forefathers. But people just, you have to worship the devatas. And what happens if you worship the devatas and the pictures, etc.? Krishna says, those who worship the devatas, they go to the planet. Those who worship the forefathers, they go to that planet. So that's the result of following perfectly. To get out of debt, that means you've got to worship these people. That means your next life, you're going to go to those places. So it doesn't really solve the problem. It just moves you around in the dharmic circle. So it's not really solving the problem. It's like you go up to Pitri Loka. Those people are very much attached to family and community. In India it's very prominent. You get these different communities. Very strongly attached to each other. And so they worship the forefathers. You see the picture of the grandfather up, even any shop you go in Navadvipa or anywhere, you'll see a picture of the grandfather with a garland on him, and every morning they do their little incense to him, worship the father, offering a bit of some sweet or something. Because it was the father's business before, so they maintain like that. So that is called the Pitri Puja. They'll worship their forefathers. Then the next generation, they put their father up there, or their grandfather up. The other one, he comes after some time, he comes off the wall, and they put the new one up there, you see. So the moment he stops, his worship has stopped, he comes back down again. He can only stay in Pitraloka as long as the worship is going on. So after some generations, they kind of forget about the grandfather, the great-grandfather. So then they take his picture away, they stop his puja again, he comes back down. He comes back down exactly in the same family, the same community, because of his attachment and because of that puja. He comes in, and like that he's going up and down in the same community, birth after birth after birth, who knows how many times, until the living entity, due to the super soul, telling him, you're not getting it here, you're not getting that happiness here. Then he will gradually change his way, and he'll worship a demigod, another demigod. And he'll try that for many births. He'll go to that demigod, he'll come back again and again. He can realize, I'm really not getting any satisfaction here. Let me change my demigod again. So he'll go off and worship another one. And he'll try that for many births. Still not satisfied, let's try this one. Then all the way down as well, you didn't get it up in the higher planets, so then you go down to the lower planets, and Krishna is giving you facility. Again and again you're trying to get this happiness, but nobody gets the real satisfaction. Until the living entity again turns back to Krishna. And that is his real satisfaction. Otherwise it's not possible to find that ultimate happiness that the soul is searching for. This is the happiness we're looking for, the happiness that we share with Krishna in the spiritual world. Now we're out in that environment, but still that desire, that longing to experience that eternal original happiness is still there. So we're trying to find it in material objects, material bodies, and therefore we're constantly changing, searching, searching, searching. Prabhupada gives the example of the baby. Small baby is crying and crying and crying, and the Mataji is trying to make him stop crying. And so she gives him to the next Mataji, and the next Mataji is sitting, she pulls him. He doesn't stop crying. They pass him all the Matajis. They pass him around, and he's screaming and crying. Then he comes to the lap of the original mother. Then his crying is stopped. So it's like that. After all this, searching everywhere, and we finally turn to Krishna, here is satisfaction at last. Here is the satisfaction we are looking for. So this is the great relief of Krishna consciousness. The only place we can get satisfaction is in Krishna consciousness. And nowhere else in the world. However nice the endharmic it may be, if it's not in relation to Krishna, it doesn't solve the problem at all. So the question may be raised, why the Lord is all merciful, how is one to remember and another to forget? Actually, His mercy is not exhibited in partiality towards one entity and eminency towards another. So the Krishna is equal to everyone. Example is the sunshine. Prabhupada says the sunshine is there. You can take advantage of the ultraviolet rays of the sun. It's very healthy, and especially in the morning. But if you stay in your house and you lock and close the doors and windows, the sun is for everyone, but if you don't take advantage of it, so Krishna is there, Krishna is for everyone, His instructions are there, but if you don't take advantage, then what can Krishna do? So He's being favoring someone is because that person has actually made an effort to turn towards Krishna, to serve Krishna, and therefore Krishna is reciprocating. Krishna is offering His service to anyone, but if nobody wants to take it, then what can Krishna do? He's not going to force them. So He helps them glide down. He helps those who want to serve Him to come to Him, and those who want to forget Him, He helps them also glide down to a lower position. But we cannot say Krishna is partial to His devotees, and you see His devotees, He's looking after, and the non-devotees, that means He's partial. No, it's up to the living entity. He's not choosing. Krishna's revealing Himself, revealing His service. You want to take, you can take it and go to Krishna. You don't want, then Krishna will give you another destination. This is not His partiality. He is equal to everyone. The living entity is part and parcel of the Lord, is partially independent because he possesses partially all the qualities of the Lord. So Krishna is Sharat, He is completely independent, completely free. Because we are minute part of Krishna, we also have minute independence. And when we misuse that independence, then that causes us. Anyone who has some independence may sometimes misuse it. You know anybody who's misused their independence? Someone close to you? I mean very, very close. I mean, this is why we're all here in the material world. We're all here now because we have misused our independence. Unless someone has just dropped down from the spiritual world. But generally, we have misused our independence. This is the condition, the state we're in now. We did do that, and as a result of that, here we are, suffering in this world of birth and death. The Prabhupada says, rotting. Rotting in this material world. So, what? Anyone who has independence may sometimes misuse it. We also often hear the question, why or how the living entity misused, how the living entity fell down from that pure position? If he's pure, how did the impurity come about that he could come fall down? Here Prabhupada says, anyone who has some independence may sometimes misuse it. Why? Due to ignorance. So you may not know the details, Prabhupada, you may not be able to, you'll never trace out the details actually of why you came here, but here is the general answer. Due to ignorance, Prabhupada says. They misuse it due to ignorance. And due to misusing our independence, this is the result of. And Krishna, first of all, he said he tries to protect him from the trap when the living entity desires to fall down. The Lord helps him, tries to protect him from the trap of Maya. Prabhupada said Krishna gives you three warnings before you come here. I think they're at different times. But he gives you three warnings. Don't go to that material world. Again he gives, and another time he gives. But we don't listen. Oh, we didn't listen. The proof is we're here. Even Krishna told us three times. Almost all the conditioned souls who are rotting in the material world are misusing their independence, and therefore five kinds of nescience are imposed upon them. These five kinds of nescience is suggested in this verse. Self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception. This is, means kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsya. The self-deception. I am this body, identifying with this, something what I am not. Self-deception. We are the self, we are the soul. But we are deceived, we've been deceived. Kim tat brahma kim adi atma? Arjuna says, what is Brahman? What is the self? Krishna says the living entity is Brahman. And his eternal nature is the self. So now self-deception, I'm thinking the self is this body. So Krishna says the eternal nature of Brahman is called the self. So actually I'm eternal. But the self-deception, I'm identifying as something temporary. And therefore, the sense of death will come. The one who has taken birth, death is certain. If I think I'm this body and I've taken birth, then death is certain, so therefore the fear of death will be there. So, self-deception is that I am this body, and what is the whole purpose of this? So I can fulfill my desires. I want to be the enjoyer, I want to be the controller. I have so much lust to fulfill my desires, karma. But I can't do it because death is coming. It won't let me fulfill my desires. How can I want to be the enjoyer and controller. I can't do it. There's something called death. So I become frustrated. I can't enjoy it. Death is coming. After every life. So then I become angry, right? Calm. I can't fulfill my desire. Calm. Lusty desire to enjoy. Then I become angry. Calm, throat. It's a progression. Anger after frustration. I become frustrated. I can't fulfill my desire. So I become angry. Kam, krodh, lobha, then lobha, greed, the sense of false ownership. It's my world. I am mine, mama meti. It's my world to enjoy. Greed. I'm greedy to enjoy the whole, it's mine, but I can't, I'm not enjoying it. Hare Krishna. I'm not given proper facility to enjoy it. So kam, krodh, lobha, moha. Back into the illusory bodily conception of forgetfulness of one's real identity. So like this we are bound up in this material world. All because of lusty desire to enjoy. It begins from that. From calm comes growth and love, lust, anger, greed develops. Then Krishna says, what happens? They become mad. Fall back down into the lower species of life. Lost. They lost it. They lost everything. or we can take it. Seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity, and therefore he purified himself by meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he began another term of creation. We can also see our own individual life like that. Seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, we created a very simple situation for ourselves, right? To be in this material world. Because I'm the center. It's my world. My circle of friends. My family. My work. Wherever I move around, it's all centered around me, isn't it? Wherever I go, it's all related to me. So I've kind of created my own world wherever I go. And I'm the center. I've got my set of friends. Everybody's the same, of course. Everybody's the center, but they've got their own relationships. Wherever they go, they have it. They're enjoying their world, their relationships. But what happens when I die, when I leave this? And the world is not existing anymore. That world for me, my world, is not existing. The world is existing, but my particular world is not existing. The only friends will say, after a few days, I say, oh, remember, I'm missing such and such. Too bad he had to die. A few days after that, everything's finished. And where was that whole world you created was so important? It doesn't exist anymore. So this is the illusory world we create. So as Brahma, he wasn't satisfied with that simple task. He didn't get any pleasure, but therefore he purified himself by meditation. So we understand. Now, part of previous lives and the beginning of this life, before we were devotees, we actually created a very simple life. We were going around imitating Krishna. So here, we can do as Brahma did. Now we know that, then we can purify ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna. And then begin another term of creation. Okay, from now on, only chanting Hare Krishna, only devotional service. I'll see Krishna. In relationship with Krishna and anyone and everything. You can create our own. Brahma did it. He just got rid of that misleading, sinful creation. So we can do that in our own world. We can get rid of that past. In one moment, you can just change anything. We have a choice. You can make that choice. It's your life, it's my life. You can make it in one moment, Prabhupada. Now I want to be Krishna conscious. Now is the best time in spiritual life, because now you can surrender to Krishna. Now you can serve Krishna. Next minute, who knows what's going to happen. Yet, past is gone. So now is the time we can spend. So we can make a change immediately. It's just up to the living entity. Cast off that sinful body that we've been so attached to. And create a new body. Create a new one. Brahma did it. We're his children. We have it. Anyway, he had a thankless task. So Prabhupada's Maya Devi has the same thankless task for keeping the living entities. Lord Shiva also, he has a thankless task of spreading Mayavad philosophy. Because he was ordered. He didn't want to do it, but he was ordered by the Lord to go and preach the philosophy close to Buddhism, to get rid of Buddhism. So then Lord Shiva appeared as Shankaracharya and he presented this Mayavadi philosophy. But of course he's Vaishnava Jatahashambhu, he's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He didn't want to give this worst of all philosophies. He completely opposite him. Mayavad, the evil fruit of India. So he was He had that simple task to spread that, but when they were churning the ocean to get an egg, all the poison come out, and Lord Shiva, he drank all that poison, and he kept it in his throat. His throat became blue because he had all the poison of the world. And Nobody can drink an ocean of poison. Too powerful. So what is it that can, the only thing that can counteract poison is nectar. So at that time Lord Shiva, he heard the Ananta Samhita from Ananta Dev. Ananta Samhita describes the glories of Navadvipa and describes the glories of Lord Varanga and the merciful nature of Lord Varanga. So he kept that Ananta Samhita in his throat when he took all that poison, and therefore the nectar of Navadvipa and Varanga counteracted all that, a whole ocean of poison. So then Lord Shiva said, he said, now I've become relieved by keeping this Ananta Samhita in my throat and always chanting the glories of Navadvipa and Varanga. I've become relieved from that sinful task of spreading Mayavada philosophy. So now he feels happy that he has got this service of chanting the glories of Namadvipa and Varanga. So he also had a thankless task to do that, but he also now he's satisfied because he's chanting the glories of Varanga. Shrima Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Itai Go Premanandi. Any comment, question? Hare Krishna, Vasudeva Prabhu. Krishna gives us three warnings. Do I know the reference? No, I don't. Someone else asked that before. Yeah. Last time I mentioned that, also someone asked the same question. Because a lot of people say we did the fourth in the spiritual world. But Prabhupada said Krishna gave you three chances. I heard it probably about 1972. It could have been a Chutananda Maharaj. It could have come from a Chutananda Maharaj, or maybe Roberta Nandan Swami. Yeah. We have to find out with it. I heard quite recently also that someone, I think Shiva Ramaraj was discussing it, and I think Samakrishna Maharaj was also discussing it when he was writing Brahma Samhita. But I think it was, I'm not sure, but I think it was Shiva Ramaraj. He's saying that one of the chances is maybe when you're coming into the material world and the glance of Vishnu is thrown, and the living entity is also coming along with the glance, a new creation. At that time, the living entity is in a pure condition because there's no manifestation of the material modes of nature or anything like that. So he's coming and he's conscious. He's coming with the glance. So at that time also, he has an opportunity because he's awakened. He's not in the dormant state inside Vishnu. He's come out. He's awakened. He's conscious. Now the glance is being passed over to the material energy, Mahakash. And at that point he has a chance. But then he sees Roma Devi. Roma Devi is the Yogamaya Devi. She's carrying the glance along the time. And she's alone. And he sees, oh, such a beautiful woman, you know? And she's alone, actually single. And he becomes attractive. So that could be, I think that was one mention, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that was, could have been one of the chances, the three warnings that you get. But then you see Roma Devi and, oh, she's alone, unaccompanied. Then you go along and you go back in the material world.
When they see her, the idea that, oh, she's alone, she should be protected, you take on that and
deal again. Yeah. And you're saying, when you see her and she's all alone, you think, oh, she's a woman, she should be protected. And then the Purusha Bhava becomes very strong. Oh, I should protect him. I should. The Purusha Bhava, I am the Lord, becomes very prominent. Okay, you want to be the Lord. So then you come into the material world and you blow that feeling out. The Purusha Bhava. Roma. No, Roma. Huh? She showed the mind. Expansion of Radha and Lakshmi. Lord's sponsor. Any other situation you can remember your previous lives, like in hell, can you remember? Yes, in hell especially, you're remembering all these sinful activities you perform, and this is the punishment you're getting for it. So make sure you understand why you're getting punished. You can remember, you're reminded. Then you. Any other stages? In the womb, if you are fortunate, if you are pious, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you are pious, after 7 months you can see the Lord. And then you make a promise to him that when I come out, I promise I'll be your servant this time. I promise. As soon as you come out, you forget. Generally, no. Prabhupada said, if you remembered what you were in your last life, if you were in a good position, if you were a king or something like that, and you had a lot of facility for enjoyment in it, he said, it would be intolerable to live. If you know in my last life I had so much facility and now I'm struggling, like, he said, it would be so intolerable. So Krishna takes away that remembrance. Samaveda Bhakta Brindaki Daigo Krimanuni.